How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Got a fun show here today in studio. In the next segment, we are going to be joined by Matt Cross, a.k.a. Son of Havoc, M-Dog 20. Got lots to talk about with him today, including Defy Wrestling. James from Defy is going to be on talking about some upcoming shows as well. If you listen to last Friday's show, we had Filthy Tom Lawler here in studio talking about his match that evening with Santiago and Matt Cross. And we'll talk about that match, Defy Wrestling, and so much more. Plus, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor, Matt Cross's entire career. There's a lot to talk about. Maybe gymnastics, whatever comes our way. If you want to give us a call here today, 844-411-5411 is the phone number. That is 844-411-5411. You can send your text messages to 425-780-7566. Very quickly, not a lot of news to get into here today, believe it or not. There is a TNA pay-per-view this weekend, Impact Wrestling pay-per-view this weekend. But this year, WWE's got an emergency restraining order against Armando Alejandro Montalvo, who was the guy who was shot years ago in front of the Performance Center in Orlando. He was released and was banned from going near the Performance Center, but he then went to Full Sail and caused trouble in front of a taping. WWE claimed he was harassing employees at the NXT taping last month, and then on April 4th posted an Instagram message threatening wrestlers and staff and claiming that he will use his own semen in a biological prank. This is originally reported by TMZ Sports. Not going to end well. That's kind of the feeling. But for those of you that remember that story, he's out and already going against the restraining order. So there is that. We got Impact renewing their 5-spike deal in the UK. They will continue broadcasting every Friday at 11 p.m. It's also going to be available on demand for free every week on the Global Wrestling Network, which is Impact's version of the WWE Network. So for those of you in the UK wondering about that, that's the update there. And that's most of the news. So a lot of time today to talk to Matt. Mike Sempervive is going to join us after the break. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. Back here in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervive, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Matt Cross is joining us in studio here today. Son of Havoc in Lucha Underground. Matt, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
If you were Son of Havoc today, would it be a very deep baritone voice?
Doing well yourself.
That's right. So, what's the story behind the voice?
Whew, I wish I had a good answer for you. I always say that Arrow Star gets the time travel. Katrina can't die. Mil Muertes has a million lives. And I have yet to find the power of it, but I have a lower voice. So
that's
I don't know
right.
what good that is. I don't know if I have the brown note or something that I can use at my disposal. I've yet to figure out how to use it, but...
Let me tell you something. Even in a comic underworld, there's always going to be room for voiceover work.
That's true.
Yeah, there you
go. So Loki's doing.
Right.
Somebody's got to narrate this nonsense.
That's right. So this sounds like a stupid question, but do they have another guy doing your voice, or do you do the audio and then they like slow it down or turn it down? Or
They do pitch shifter in
So it is you?
Yeah, it's me doing everything. And
yeah.
That's true. Even when I first heard it, I was like, what the? But then it's
the
I was going to say clearly my voice, but only if you know me. It's clearly my voice, but then just, I could even, so what the problem is I can do the voice.
Yeah.
But then, so then when we do vignettes, for example, I'll want to then do like a imitation of my own voice, which they then put the effect
yeah,
on.
Yeah, then
so
it screws it up.
Crazier.
Yeah.
Nor is there an agreed upon Son of Havoc setting, so it depends who's editing that day and how they're putting it together. So every episode, it really runs the gamut or whatever. So
yeah.
Now, it sounds like you got a great voice anyway. Have you suggested to them, or was this one thing where it's like, we do this and that's how we're going to do it?
I mean, it just kind of happened. I watched the first episode and was like, oh, okay, this is a thing.
So you didn't even know till you watched it.
Not a clue. And the funny part is, then all of a sudden I'm like self-conscious about my voice and I'm like, do I have a high voice? Like, is this a, I never thought I had a problem. And now I'm like, is my voice emasculating? Like, should I walk around and be like, hello guys, how's it going? Like,
yeah. It was astounding when I first watched the show and you spoke and all of a sudden I was just like, what is that? What happened here?
Yeah.
I presumed it was another guy. I don't know why.
Old singer Michelle Lay.
Yeah.
Like you hear her sing and then you hear her voice and she sounds like Minnie Mouse.
Yes. Now you're still working with Lucha Underground.
Absolutely, yes.
And you probably can't talk about this, but hey, I'm gonna ask anyway. Fifth season? A lot of rumors about a fifth season. Do you know anything about this?
I don't know anything about it. I know that all the executives were very excited with the fourth season, so I would think that it's very likely. And obviously, that decision isn't up to me. It's a television show like any other, and as long as it continues to do well, I see no reason that it won't be on. So I would expect it. I am expecting it, so we'll see.
Now, without giving any spoilers, because I don't like the spoilers to get out.
Right.
So you've worked throughout the first three seasons, and now the fourth season, there was a lot of discussion about whether there was even going to be one.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it was like, well, they got the money. I don't know if they got the same amount of money. There may have to be some corners cut here, kind of condense everything, fewer taping days. What was the difference between the previous seasons and the fourth season? Did you notice any difference in anything?
We went from filming Saturdays and Sundays to filming Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So okay. That was pretty much the difference, just kind of pack it, you know, closer together. So
yeah.
When you're watching the show, there's not going to be any discernible difference.
Like, sure.
The set remains awesome. Everything that is going to be on the presentation side and the production was the same. So it was a little more hectic of a schedule for us as
yeah.
the performers. But, you know, that was something that we dealt with. And whatever it takes to get the show in the air. I mean, everyone had fun again. And so
yeah.
the atmosphere was still there.
Did you feel like you worked fewer matches? I mean, does it feel like it's going to be a shorter season?
It felt hectic, if anything, because the very first season we did like one show Saturday, one show Sunday.
Yeah.
And then we went to doing two Saturday, two Sunday, and now we were doing two Friday, two Saturday, two Sunday.
Yeah.
So you felt that. I mean, it was a lot more work, and it was four consecutive weekends. So
yeah.
it was a lot of work packed in and really kind of a busy schedule, but you know, it kind of forced us to be there so much and kind of bond that much more because everyone was literally physically around each other that much more.
Yeah. I was down for WrestleMania weekend, and there's like 9 million shows, and I think I went to like 8 shows in 3 days or something crazy, and Jeff Cobb's everywhere.
Sure.
And before Lucha Underground, he was like a California guy.
Yeah.
And then Lucha Underground started up, and next thing you know, he's everywhere. And he wasn't everywhere as Matanza.
Right.
He was everywhere as Jeff Cobb. Like, everybody knew that Matanza was Jeff Cobb, and for some reason, I mean, the Matanza character is kind of, you know, like a mummy, so Jeff Cobb's
and that's,
probably going to have more exciting matches.
The crazy part was, a lot of people didn't think, a lot of people thought, okay, well, Jeff Cobb, is that really, do people want to see Matanza, or do they want to see Jeff Cobb? They seemed like they wanted to see Jeff Cobb.
They did, but he was an awesome Matanza. But anyway, the point is,
it's true.
Have you seen, like, an increase in bookings as Matt Cross after you showed up as Son of Havoc?
I mean, yes, not to the degree of some other guys. Like, if you have, like, Cage, for example, like, this really put him on television
yeah, yeah.
as himself and an opportunity to shine, and he's taken full advantage of that, and he's everywhere. It's a little more difficult for me. Obviously, I have a mask on, so
yeah.
people know, but don't know, and every week I'm doing indie show somewhere in the
I mean,
country.
The beard, it's pretty...
Right, right.
Yeah.
The majority of people know, and with... Obviously, the internet,
yeah.
anyone that wants to know can know. But people still will come up to me, at least one person every weekend at an indie show somewhere, see a Son of Havoc picture at my merch table and be like, oh, wait, oh my God, yeah, that makes sense. And I'm like, well, yeah, unless this dude's stealing my look, all my moves, like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
I think I'm busier, but it's almost speaks to just the popularity of wrestling right now. You
yeah.
know, it's like...
Everyone's busier.
Everyone is busier. Every single person, without exception, has been hired by the WWE. So if you want to run a bigger show, I'm, you know, a guy that you might look to use on that. So I am busier than ever. And of course, Lucha Underground played into that, but not as much as some of the other guys, unfortunately. But, you know, we're still at this great time in wrestling, so I can't complain.
There was another guy.
Did you have any frustrations with the contract situation? Because there's been a lot of high profile things, you know, people that have talked about their contract statuses. For you, what kind of problems or issues have you had kind of dealing within the framework of being under contract to Lucha Underground?
I mean, we don't really have any limitations, so I'm happy. It enables me to, I mean, I'm a guy that's been traveling the world for 17 years now. It enables me to keep doing that. So in a perfect world, I would do a season of Lucha Underground, then go to Europe for weeks and or months, then come back, do seasons of Lucha Underground. So I'm very happy with it because it enables me to still do everything that I've, you know, become accustomed to and love to do. I mean, be able to see the world and travel is what kind of keeps me involved in the wrestling business in general, and I'm still able to do that. So we're pretty open as far as everything, so I'm happy.
So there was another guy that I was talking to. I don't know if I should mention his name, but he was talking about the whole indie scene is on fire. And his line was, I don't know how long it's going to last, but I love it. and I'm just going to keep going as long as I can. So you mentioned 17 years. I mean, when do you feel like this began? Like this thing that we're in right now where, I mean, if you're an indie worker, like, you're in demand everywhere. There are so many guys, like, especially, I mean, WrestleMania weekend's an aberration, but I mean, there were guys working like 8 shows, like crazy numbers of shows.
Yep.
And the indies everywhere, like Defy in Seattle. I mean, I wrestled around here in like the late 90s, early 2000s. It wasn't like this.
Right.
Like,
killed the territory.
It's completely crazy now everywhere. When do you feel like that shift occurred, and can you think of a reason why it occurred?
I mean, it's in the past 2 or 3 years. You could definitely see that, because exactly, like, I started in like 2001 was my first like professional year, and the differences between then and now, it's night and day. There's a couple little reasons that in my opinion, I think largely, and honestly, I think Lucha Underground has kind of spearheaded a lot of this. I think that it's sort of the evolution that wrestling has been looking for so long. I don't listen to the music that my parents did. I don't watch the movies that my parents did. And wrestling on a large scale is presented in that same way that it always has been. It's tired, for lack of a better term. Whereas when you watch Lucha Underground, it's like audiences expect more now. So when you watch Breaking Bad, you're like, this is awesome. So I feel like it took some of that Breaking Bad type world into this wrestling format that we know and love, and it evolutionized it. It updated wrestling. So then it became wrestling is becoming cool again, and some of that stigma is being removed. So I think as that happened, some of this change. And then with WWE just being more open to, hire every guy ever, and at the same time acknowledge their pasts, I mean, it became you can't deny guys like Daniel Bryan anymore, and you can't deny CM Punk, and you can't, and where do these guys come from, and what have they done? And then that's something that everyone becomes aware of. So as they did that, you know, we see this rise in everything, because now people are more aware of where these guys are coming from.
All right, stand by, back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Back here in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Matt Cross, Son of Havoc, is joining us here today in studio. If you want to call or text questions for Matt, 844-411-5411. That is 844-411-5411. Only questions for Matt Cross here today. Don't ask about Booker T on Raw. Talk about that on Sunday. Text messages, 425-780-7566. We'll stay on topic here today, and I got a lot to talk about anyway, so let's just get into it. You mentioned, I guess, 2001 you started?
Yeah.
What, you were an ECW fan growing up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. WWE?
When I was a child, like Hulk Hogan, Dusty Rhodes, Bushwhackers, that era.
Yeah. So I guess, what's your wrestling history? What are your first memories of wrestling, and when did you decide you wanted to be a wrestler?
I liked Hulk Hogan growing up. I liked the Bushwhackers. Like I said, Dusty Rhodes, all those guys, Macho Man. I was crazy about it. I remember watching the TV and running around my house. And I mean, even the name, the Macho Man, I'm like, dude, he's the machoest man. I love it. And then literally, one day, my dad came home and said, "Why are you watching this crap? It's fake."
Oh.
And then I looked at it a little closer, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And I stopped watching that day.
Really?
And this lasted all the way through essentially high school. Like, I remember being in high school, and that was the whole like Stone Cold era, the NWO and stuff. Yep. And I'm seeing all these shirts every second of every day, and I don't understand it. I'm like, "What is religion cool? Like, why is this 316 stuff everywhere? I don't understand." I remember someone explaining it to me, like, "Oh, it's wrestling." And I was like, what do you mean? Like the WWF, like when we were kids? And they're like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "That's still around?" And again, if those people could see me now, like, holy crap, this has become absolutely consumed my life at this point. And I essentially had a buddy that was a fellow punk rock straight edge guy, Josh Prohibition. He's like, "Hey, come over and watch this wrestling thing." And I initially told him no. I was like, "I'm not even interested." But he convinced me to do it, and I went over there and saw an ECW pay-per-view. Now, I'd never seen a pay-per-view anything, let alone wrestling, before.
Yeah.
So Shane Douglas came out, dropped the F-bomb, and I was like, "Oh my god, that guy just swore on television. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life." Within 12 seconds of that, New Jack jumped off the moon, was bleeding everywhere, while rap music like played over his match. And then Francine came out naked, and everyone was on fire, and the crowd was going nuts. And I'm like, this isn't wrestling, but whatever this is,
it's,
I love
awesome.
It. I need it. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. When is the next thing? How do we watch this every second of every day? So then, yeah, Josh was like, "Hey, once a month, I do these pay-per-views." And I'm like, "Well, guess where I'm going to be once a month for sure." He's giving me all his VHS tapes, and I just wanted more of this thing.
Yeah. So you'd also done gymnastics.
Yes.
And, I mean, obviously you can watch your matches. There's a lot of gymnastics in there. I mean, how long did you do that? And, I mean, people who've done gymnastics for a long time, like, it can be tough on the body after a while. I mean, tell us a little bit about your career, and do you feel your gymnastics career today?
It's funny because I did it for 11 years. I started when I was 10 years old and did it through 21. The last year, I was like transitioning to wrestling, so I kind of did both for a moment. I have picked maybe two of the only sports in the world with no off-season. So
yes.
Gymnastics, there's no off-season. Pro wrestling, there's no off-season. So since I was 10 years old, I've just been going hard. So we're talking like 25-plus years of yep. just my body being trash. So that is the new norm. I don't know any different. Like, perhaps if I rested and healed and was fine, I would just die. You know, I don't know anything but pain and whatever. I mean, in my opinion, gymnastics is the most difficult sport in the world. So yeah. I'm coming from that into this, which is not easy. And I still have that same mentality of training and sleeping and eating and competing. I still kind of carry with me that competitive spirit into this. So it's all I know. You know, I don't know what it is to be I don't know, pain free and whatever. So that is the norm for me. But I've come up in it, so it's okay.
What kind of injuries do you deal with on a regular basis? Like shoulders, lower back?
Well, like the top of my head from there, generally down to the bottom of my toe.
Sure.
And everything in between there is questionable. No, I'm actually doing quite well, like all things considered. I mean, again, this is my 17th year in pro wrestling, and I'm not known for taking it easy, and nor do I. So
yeah.
I should definitely be deceased. But I'm still going strong. So it's weird. I feel like one day it's just gonna hit me at once and I'm in trouble, but, I'm doing okay. I mean, there's just naggy things, you know, your back, neck, shoulders, everything. But I mean, again, I was a ring specialist in gymnastics. So, you know, my body, specifically my shoulders, haven't had a break in their life. So
yeah,
it's a lot of wear and tear on the body, but I'm very happy. All things considered.
Have you ever messed up the shooting star press?
Once. I was practicing before a CZW show in like 2002, and my foot slipped off the rope. So as I jumped up to complete the maneuver, my foot slipped. It sent me off on like a sideways trajectory. So I'm doing the shooting star, but I'm falling out of the ring at the same time.
Yeah.
So I'm in the air. I don't know what's going on, but I'm kind of sticking with the movement. And then I landed on my feet on the outside with my hand on the apron. So it looked really cool. It scared the crap out of me. And yeah. I have no idea how, you know, it was easily the scariest thing ever. Yeah, but that's the one and only time, and I landed on my feet on the outside, so I was okay. But I mean, I've done it routinely for, you know, close to two decades now, so I've got one. So that's a pretty good track record.
Yeah, I just was watching, because if you watch Kidman back in WCW,
oh yeah,
he's doing the shooting star, and like every day it looked a little worse.
Yeah,
and it kept getting worse and worse, and you're like, God, like. It just keeps getting worse. And then one day he just goes up, he lands on the top rope, he flips over. I was like, guy killed himself. And then pretty soon he wasn't doing it anymore.
Yeah,
but on the Defy show Friday, I mean, you pulled this off like it was nothing. Like effortless.
Yeah, and without like
cursing yourself?
Not cursing myself, but without sounding a certain way. Like like it at this point is effortless. Like
yeah.
I have it so dialed in that it's 100%. I just have it so, again, dialed in. Like I know where I am. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, I even some of the still photos that I see, I'm like, I'm coming. There's three ropes, but somehow I'm coming up the fifth or sixth. Like, I don't even know where I'm just launching into the air. I mean, I want to be one of the best ever. I was watching a parkour championship and this guy went for a gainer off this like really high ledge. And then he put his hands behind his head and kind of like laid back. And I'm like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like, that's insanity. Like, how would you,
yep.
That makes the movement so much more difficult. How did you do that? And then I had a match where I was particularly pumped, and that was in the back of my mind. And I'm like, maybe. And I did it once. So now I try to bring sort of that flair into it as well, which is what I like about wrestling, because you can add that personalization and stuff. So I try to now, which again, makes the maneuver even more difficult, and you're fighting nature even more, but try to put my hands behind my head and kind of lay back as I'm doing it and just tweak it over the years. But yeah, that move in particular, I definitely have a dialed in, and I love doing it. Like, it feels good. It looks good. Yeah, it's rad.
I was
who have you looked, Who have you looked to for inspiration over the years when it comes to moves sometimes? Because like Dragon Kid does that, Dragon Rana, that always, you know, it's amazing, but also just like you, it makes it look so effortless every time he goes out there and does it, and it's always an amazing move. Who have you looked to as far as, you know, getting inspiration from this person or that person?
I think not move-based, but more a style or an idea. AJ Styles and Rob Van Dam are always kind of important to me and remain so, because I always watched them and continue to watch them with this sense of I don't know what they're going to do next. So I consciously try to bring that into my matches because I, as a fan, enjoyed that. I'm like, these guys are so hyper-athletic that they could theoretically do anything. Like, I believe they can do anything. So I watch the matches to be like, what will they do next? And you don't know when they'll do what. And it's just, there's such a level of excitement to that that other people don't necessarily bring to the table. So that's something, again, as a fan, that I've always enjoyed. So I try to bring that into my matches.
I was a gymnast for a long time, and I don't think people understand how difficult a shooting star press is. I'm still hung up on the shooting star press.
Sure.
Like, you see a 450.
Yeah,
you're doing basically a front tuck, and you just keep rotating a little bit. And Right. You're coming from the top rope. It's not right. Like you're
shaking
doing it on the ground.
Right.
Yeah. This is like you have to go forward and backwards,
right.
Laid out, which is even more difficult.
I know. I appreciate that because people don't.
They don't really understand.
Like, you are doing a backflip moving forward. So you're just fighting.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. And your body knows that it doesn't make sense. So it's
Yes. Fighting
it every second of the maneuver because it's like, no. So you really have to commit and fight against all like physics and nature. And
it's not even that. It's like, it's one thing to do a gainer. Mm-hmm. Like you go to the whatever they call elevated sports and like you're on the trampoline, you do a gainer to the pit. That's all fine. But you're doing a laid out gainer where you also have to land on a person and not actually kill them.
Yeah.
I bring this up because in the match you guys had on, it was Friday, it was you and Filthy and Santiago, and you guys were going over the match, and Filthy had an idea for a move, and you were like, let's do a different move. And I don't know if you remember this or not. I won't even mention the move, but
you just
mentioned that you didn't want to take this one move, but you'd take another move. And then at the end of the match, you do the shooting star press.
Right.
And it was just kind of like, the move you didn't want to take wasn't like that bad, but it was just funny to see, I'm not down with that one, but I'm going to go up to the top rope and do a laid out gainer and just smash someone effortlessly.
Sure.
Comfort level.
I mean, wrestling is not is not moves either. Like I remember one time years ago having a promoter and I had a disagreement over a price and he said, well, fine, I'll just get someone else who can do your moves. And I'm like, that's...
Who's that? Ricochet? Maybe.
Well, that's...
that's about it.
That's a whole other level of the irony involved, because I'm like, A, that might be more difficult than you think, and B, and more importantly, wrestling is not moves.
Exactly.
I loved Hulk Hogan. Like, how many of us got into wrestling because of that? Did he ever in his life do one move that you could consider cool? Arguably, no. So wrestling's not moves. It's connection and when and where to do them. And so you that comes into play when you're putting matches together.
Yep. Stand by. I'm back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Back here in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Matt Cross, Son of Havoc, joining us here today. We got a couple of text message questions I'm going to go to in a moment, but... First off, this Friday, was this the first Defy show you've been to?
No, I was on the very first.
Oh, that's right, because you got hurt.
I broke my leg in the first match in Defy's history.
God.
Remember, you weren't leaving the house at that point in your life, Brian.
I wasn't leaving the house. What happened?
I met Shins with another competitor, and my leg lost the battle. So, broke my leg.
So, you Anderson Silva'd yourself, basically.
Yeah. And then... audibly, I think I said in the moment, F, I broke my leg. And about a nanosecond later, I thought to myself, well, that was a bit dramatic. I'm sure I didn't break my leg. It just hurts really bad.
Sure.
So finished the match, went another 8 to 10 minutes, hung around, sold merch at intermission, flew to Wrestle Circus in Austin, Texas the next day. Didn't do the show because I was in too much pain. Flew home over the next couple of weeks, continued going to the gym in this pretty excruciating pain. Got tired of telling my buddies on a essentially daily basis, guys, I hate to keep bringing this up, but this really hurts. I mean, we're talking really hurts. Now, to my credit, I wasn't ignoring obvious signs. It wasn't black and blue. It wasn't swollen.
Yeah.
Just hurts. Once we neared a month, I'm like, okay, most things in the human body are going to heal themselves by this point. How can I be in this much pain still? Went to finally have it x-rayed and turned out it was broken.
Oh my God. Now, was the crowd on that first show, like the crowd this Friday?
It was something special already. Yeah.
Okay.
It was not to the degree. Now it's just, you know, times 10, but there was that feel that there were fans in this area starving for it, that were finally getting a chance to explode because they've been waiting for so long. I mean, that was palpable.
I bring this up because you had mentioned, I've told this story in a different show already this week, that when Tom put on the double ankle lock, you said it was like Steve Austin coming in the beer truck.
That's what I felt like.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, like, Stone Cold's coming in here in a beer truck, and he's spraying everybody, and that's what's going on behind us, like, based on this reaction, for sure.
Yes. Now, what you have not mentioned, I don't know if you didn't hear it, or you're just being humble, the shooting star at the end was even bigger. Like, when you're up there, do you hear the people, or are you just thinking about what you're going to do, and so you don't even hear it?
Perhaps I thought Kurt Angle had the milk truck at that point.
Dude, I don't know. That was the craziest reaction when you came up. And that wasn't even what was supposed to happen. There had been like a screw-up in the match, right? Where there was going to be a shooting star in the match. And you guys forgot it, and so you added it to the end, right?
It's a little inside baseball, but yes. Yeah, that wasn't audible.
It was so much better that way, though, I thought.
I agree.
I mean, we don't know, because we don't know what would happen if you had actually done it in the match.
Right.
But, like, they hate Santiago so much.
Yeah.
That, like, at the end, when you laid him out with that thing, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, and that's what I love about pro wrestling, right? I mean, that's, like, dealing with a live audience who is integral in the action. Like, without their participation, that moment wouldn't have happened. And it comes across so natural and everything, because it sort of is. Like, that isn't according to any sort of plan. That unfolds real time, and you get those special moments like that.
Now, one more, then we're going to go to James here very quickly to talk about Defy in the next show. So, Filthy, you guys run second.
Mm.
And Filthy was out there until the show started trying to sell his shirts.
Mm.
And then he went back,
mm-hmm.
and so you guys had a match to put a three-way match together.
Yeah.
And he'd never done a three-way before, by the way.
Right.
So, like, it was such a good match, and he was on the show yesterday, and he said, I think it was because we didn't have a lot of time. Like,
if you got too much time, you overthink it, right?
Yeah, well, what are your thoughts about putting a match together? Like, do you like it better when you've got a ton of time and you can, like, get a bunch of stuff ready, or, I mean, you obviously went through a lot of stuff, but you also had to kind of, you know.
Sure. I would rather have more time.
Yeah.
I'd rather have it down, because the more time you have, the deeper you go into the layers, so to speak, and you start thinking about, like, oh, I have so much time that now I have the movements down, so now I can think about, you know, why and how to react to this, and just those little, like, what should my face do at this point? And the more time, the more, obviously, you can think about different things. So I like having more time. But you don't, I mean, you have to be, again, it's been 17 years for me, so I'm not new to this game. So, okay, we have 25 seconds with two newer guys to put something together. Like,
yep.
We can do it. And we did.
Yeah. Now, James, so we've got Defy shows coming up, I presume. So let's get some plugs in there.
We do. Thanks for letting me plug.
Tell us who you are, James.
I'm the one of the owners of Defy Wrestling. I'm essentially something that I spearheaded, and then was lucky enough to attract a very great team around me. And just quickly, I mean, that was the first show I ever promoted, was the show that you broke your leg. And
God,
to like
fault.
Sort of kick it off of that, I was like, is this how it's going to be? Is this what is this what I've got myself into?
Welcome to wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. But we have a show next week. We have a show next week in Tacoma, April 28th, Saturday, April 28th at People's Community Center. We're bringing out X-Pac. This is his triumphant return to the Pacific Northwest,
oh,
which he's super excited about. I'm very excited to meet his dog. I think that's going to go over really well.
He's bringing his dog?
He's bringing his dog. His dog will be here, so that's going to sell some tickets right there, I think.
It's sold one.
I've seen the photos. Is that a travel companion, or is it like Teddy Hart working with the cat?
No, that is a travel companion, 100%. That's a soul partner. And we have
a working dog.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, does the dog use spots like Teddy Hart's cats?
I don't think
Matilda.
So, but I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's an awesome idea. We have a crazy busy May. as well. We have three shows in May. That's kind of unprecedented for us.
Including Montana.
Montana. Yes, we are getting out there. So we've got a show in Montana on May 4th and then in Spokane on May 5th. And we're doing like sort of a mini spring tour sort of thing. So it's going to be the same dudes coming out. We got Matt Riddle. Hometown boy Flip Gordon is going to be out there
for the first time. He's going to be in Montana.
Brian Cage is going out there with us. So it's going to be cool. You know, the idea is like, hey, punk rock circus show. Right, like we'll, you know, kind of land in your town and set up the tent, and here we go. So that's going to be fun. And then May 26th in Portland, limited amount of tickets left for that Portland show. It's going to be at the Hawthorne Theater, and we have Matt Seidel, Matt Riddle, Joey Ryan, Shane Strickland is going to be there.
Wow!
And so that's going to be an awesome show. And then we're right back in Seattle on June 9th, and this will be an exclusive here, but it's going to be the debut of Desmond Xavier in Defy for that show. We also have MVP coming out. Shane Strickland is going to be there. Kimber Lee is returning to Seattle and wrestling in front of all her friends and family here. They're all going to be out for that. So that's kind of a real special moment that I'm looking forward to.
So Defy Wrestling on Twitter?
Yeah, at DefyNW on all social platforms and DefyWrestling.com for tickets and all the information. And then we have Defy Now, our weekly show. And you can find that on DefyOnDemand.com.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much. And I'm sure I'll be out again for more. And back to Matt. Do you believe the Earth is flat?
Absolutely not.
We talked to Flip Gordon about that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did. I didn't get as in-depth as I wanted to, but it was brought up. He does, in fact, think the Earth might be. Okay. He would not commit that he believes it is, but it might be flat, he said.
I do not.
Yes. We had a question here. Can M-Dog talk about his dance-off with a human tornado at the Ted Petty Invitational?
Do I remember it? I don't know if I even remember
this that. Guy remembers it.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's human tornado. I don't know. What does he want to know? I don't really remember it, to be honest. This came up recently. James and I talked about it earlier this week. I came up doing a little breakdancing, and I almost always forget that people don't know that. So on my Instagram story, like sometime I got inspired up in Toronto recently, and we were at some club after a show, and the right song hit, and the moment was there, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do a little breakdancing, see if I still have it in the old tank here. And I did, and it was awesome. I put it on my story and enjoyed it, and then all these people reached out, and they're like, what in the... I had no idea you can do that. But it's like all of us. We have things that we can do that we just assume everyone knows. Like,
yeah,
everyone knows I love crocheting, or whatever it is, you know? And that was one of those things that I'm like, my name's MDog20. Like, where do you think this came from? Like, of course I'm a breakdancer. But I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, if you just see Matt Cross, the white-haired like guy that's been around for all of time, you're probably not going to be like, he probably does breakdancing, I bet. Like, so, it doesn't... I mean, that's likely happened. I don't remember it, to be honest. It would have been quite many years ago. But, yeah, it's one of those funny things that, like, people forget or never knew that I do.
First of all, who would you love to have one match with? You've been around a long time.
Yeah.
You've probably run across a lot of guys. Who have you not had an opportunity to wrestle that you think you would love to have a match with?
My dream match in a singles setting is AJ Styles, and has been, frustratingly enough, since... I've been answering this question the same since 2003.
Oh, man.
And putting out there on every platform I possibly could, thinking that some promoter somewhere would be like, yeah, that probably would be a good match, because for sure it would. I got to wrestle him in a four-way. Perhaps it was a three-way, years and years and years ago. But just that in a singles match, I think we could do something special. I mean, he's obviously incredible, and I would love to test myself against him and see what we could do. So that, has yet to happen, which is frustrating.
This person wants to know, who is the most influential person in your career?
Oh, geez, I don't know. I mean, in a way, Josh Prohibition, because he got me started.
That's right.
He was the one that kind of introduced me to wrestling and was even... instrumental in those beginning years, because he had such a wrestling mind and still does. And funny examples to go back to the Shooting Star. I knew it as a gainer because I'm coming out of gymnastics.
That's right.
And I'm
a gainer.
Like, I want my finish to be the big backflip. And he's like, I'm telling you, you got to do the Shooting Star. And I'm like, the shooting what? He's like, do the gainer. And I'm like, you think? I'm like, I'm telling you, man, big backflip. People go nuts. He's like, no, gainer. They go more nuts. I'm like, I don't think so, dude. I'm like, all right, one night, we'll try it. I'll show you. So I do the Shooting Star. People lose their mind. I go to the back and I'm like, you were right. He's like, I'm telling you, man, I watch a lot of wrestling. So just stuff like that to kind of get me on the path in the right way. You know, he was instrumental. That and just punk rock bands that told me it was possible.
Hey, here's another somewhat gymnastics related question. Have you seen the video for Ricochet on NXT television where they're filming him with a drone and he's on the beach and he's doing backflip burpees?
That's awesome.
No.
He's doing a burpee into a back tuck, burpee into a back tuck over and over and over again. He could do like 18 in a row.
Jeez.
Can you fathom this?
No, honestly, no, because you get dizzy after one.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Break my neck after one.
Well, yeah, right. That would happen as well. What are your thoughts on the intergender matches in Lucha Underground? A hot topic with Lucha Underground.
Yeah, I see. That has happened on the indies for years. So I didn't realize the very first match on the very first episode was me versus Sexy Star. I thought, okay, here's a match that we're somewhat accustomed to on the indies. And then when it aired on television, I guess it was the first like televised intergender match ever. And it was some like historic moment in its own way. So I'm getting asked this in all these interviews. And I'm like, well, I'm not prepared for this. I didn't know that what I was standing for. And I just had a match that, again, from the indies, we're used to this. And I think it speaks to, you know, our culture and the times. Like, no one questions things in the Avengers or other Marvel movies. And it's that, you know, if these badass women want to like showcase their skills and wrestle dudes, like, all right. And it's not a weird thing. It's existed in the indies forever. So I didn't realize how like controversial that it was.
Here's a question for you. Who is the best wrestler in the world?
The best wrestler that I have ever wrestled personally, I believe, is Cody Rhodes. He was so good. At the month that I wrestled him the first time, I was coming off, I wrestled like PJ Black, Ricochet, just really top level dudes like every single weekend. I was having these matches that I was really proud of. So I'm like, man, I'm at the top of my game. We're killing it. We're doing it. Bring on Cody Rhodes. Let's do this. And then I remember just being sort of blown away, as lame as that sounds. And I was like, this dude is on his own level. Like, and I thought we're all at the top echelon of dudes. Like, here we are. We're killing it. And then I wrestled him and I'm like, oh, there's another level. Like, there's another level. It was inspiring in a way, because it was like, I didn't know there was, I thought this was, I mean, there's obviously a lot of play within that, within these levels, but I thought I was within maybe the very bottom of this top level. And then Cody Rhodes blew that out of the water. And he's kind of in a class of his own.
Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live. Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Matt Cross, MDog 20, Breakdance Extraordinaire, Son of Havoc's here on the show today. Got about 2 minutes here. Let's get some plugs in for some upcoming events, social media, all that good stuff.
Sure. If you haven't already, please check out WrestlingIsForever.com. That's what I did with my time after I broke my leg, as we discussed here. I had a lot of time at home to just think things over. So
I saw those shirts everywhere.
Yeah. Hopefully.
I found out today that you were the man behind them.
Yeah, yeah,
I was like,
yeah.
Look at this.
Like we talked about, indie wrestling is just experiencing this boom, and there's so much excitement around it, and it's being shot differently and presented differently, and I want the fashion associated with that to also be a part of that rise and to come up with it. So, you know, I believe strongly in that, because there's I don't need another purple shirt with like a half-naked dude on it that's made on like a crappy material. Like, yes. I want something rad. So that's where I've stepped in and tried to do that. And I feel like we're building this little community. So yeah, I think WrestlingIsForever.com is, I made the site, I ship everything out myself. So it's been very hands-on, and I enjoy that aspect of it. Coming up, I got Tommy Dreamer's House of Hardcore next Saturday. We're in Indiana, and then 2G Promotions in Texas on that Sunday. And then after that, I'm going to Europe for close to 6 weeks.
Wow.
So I'll be in England, Scotland, Germany.
What a life.
Switzerland. Yeah, all over. So, and that's a style that, you know, by and large, I've kind of pioneered. So instead of taking like a booking, like a lot of guys do, I'll piggyback stuff off that, and kind of, it's a pirate's life for me. So it'll be another one of my Wrestling's Forever World Tours coming up. So I haven't dropped all the details of that yet, but I'll be appearing in a country near you.
Well, check it out, WrestlingIsForever.com, MDog Matt Cross on Twitter. I want to thank you so much for doing the show here today. And, of course, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Thanks, Mike, as always. Everybody in the studio, callers and listeners, talk to you again next time, Wrestling Observer Live.